So, Wilf, there's a way. Our guest today is Dolores Bailey of Empowerment, Inc. Welcome.
Thank you, Tyna. I'm glad to be here.
Empowerment has been around for more than a decade now. Tell us a little bit about how it got started and how your involvement with it.
I sure would. Empowerment was started in 1996. It's a nonprofit located in Chapel Hill that services Chapel Hill, Carrboro, Hillsboro, all of Orange County, and Chatham County. The organization was originally started because of the need of a couple of neighborhoods, the traditionally African-American neighborhoods in Chapel Hill and Carrboro. Residents there hollering out for help to prevent gentrification in their community, to talk about preservation for their community, and to address crime issues that were going on. The two men that started the program were Miles Pressler and a friend of his, Tremaine, who were both MSW students at UNC. So in 1996, when the government realized a lot of neighborhoods were going the way of gentrification, there was money available, there was enough of an outcry from the community. And basically how the gentlemen started were going to the community, doing community organizing. Our neighborhoods, Northside, Pine Knoll, Carcourt, Lloyd Street, to name the local ones, are rich with history of Chapel Hill, history of North Carolina, history of this being on school boards and people from the NAACP, all folk that grew up in these neighborhoods. And what was happening more blatantly in 1996 was that the neighborhoods were losing their identity. And there were residents living there, Ed Caldwell, Miss Frances Hargraves, Miss Velma Perry, and others that were hollering for help, that needed assistance to hold on to their neighborhoods. And so Empowerment was started. There are three legs to the Empowerment stool: community organizing, affordable housing, building, and also economic development. And at 1996, as it is now in 2008, there was a huge need for people being able to pay attention to that. And that's how Empowerment got started.
And how'd you get involved?
We actually live on Graham Street, which is in the middle of Northside. And I was busy in the rest of my life running it and living it until 9/11 happened. And I lost my job at a boat manufacturing company in Durham and was sitting on my street watching the things happening on my street and heard about Empowerment, was invited to come by and see it. Didn't know much about it at all, except for it was a name in the community. And when I really understood that there were some needs and there were a need that I could answer, I started as a community organizer. It made sense, and it's just grown and become a part of me and my family since 2002.
What areas does Empowerment serve?
Orange County and Chatham County. We are a community development corporation, and there are other community development corporations in the area. So there is the Durham Land Trust, which handles things that happen in Durham. There's also a CDC in Sanford. I'm saying this so that to know that we don't overlap each other's work.
Okay.
So we work in conjunction with each other. So Empowerment right now is in Orange County and Chatham County. We're doing a lot of growing in Chatham County, as a matter of fact.
Your community organizing objective, tell us about Neighbors United and what you all have been doing in particular about criminal justice issues.
Empowerment's view is a holistic one. We're talking about community, we're talking about families, and we're talking about homes where people live and then businesses. So the Neighbors United is a portion of, once we find a home in our affordable housing building, we will either buy a lot and build new construction, or we'll buy a home and renovate it so that we can sell it back to another low to moderately income person. Well, we have particular neighborhoods that we do this work in, Northside and Pine Knoll, Carrboro most notably. And what we believe is that it's not just the selling of a home, it's also bringing someone into the neighborhood or elevating someone that lives in public housing to buy a home that are in these neighborhoods. So it's a holistic approach. Our small business incubator, the Midway Business Center, is located on Graham Street as well. It's about people who have small businesses who want to grow them and want to grow them in the community so that the community will support it and it will support the community. So it's a whole piece of the puzzle. I mean, it all fits together.
And it's getting pretty big, is it not?
Yes, it is. We are proud to say the Midway Business Center has a taxi cab service in it. It's owned by a husband and wife called the Midway In-Town taxi. It has a real estate banker, Ms. Carmilla Farrington, the African-American female who has her own business. It has a Celerity, which is a painting company run by an African-American female. So it's exciting to see the kinds of things that are happening there. So, yes.
At one point, you all brought the communities together, and you went to see the Chapel Hill and Carrboro police chiefs, the magistrate, the judge. Tell us what happened there and what that was about.
Okay. Recognizing that Northside being and Pinole are the neighborhoods that are on the westernmost portion of Chapel Hill, there are lots of things that happen there. We have a huge reputation for crime, which the community organizing piece has been working on. Perception is a problem for us. As an organization in the community organizing, we've been bringing neighbors together. We bring in police together, not just from our area, but from Durham and Hillsborough, and trying to realize a way to, number one, change the perception, but change the community. And that's what we're doing. So when we call together let me back up a little bit, we have community watch meeting every second Tuesday of the month. We've had it for over 14 years. We have a very active community as far as that goes, because we realize and recognize that the important thing is for the neighbors to step up and work in conjunction with the police, in conjunction with, you know, some of those people out there are our cousins, and they're the kids we went to school with. And why they're out there is not our concern. Helping get them off the street, helping change the perception of our neighborhoods is what's important to us. And that requires more than just the neighbors. It requires the police. It requires the magistrate office. It requires judges to know and understand what we're trying to do collectively. And so what we did, and we've had several meetings, the most recent one, we were in Pine Knolls, and there was a lot of activity happening in Pine Knolls. And just to give you a little history, Pine Knolls had spent many years before 1996 cleaning up their streets. And I have to note that as hard as we work on cleaning the streets up and are successful at it, the perception still doesn't change. So we continue to talk to the magistrates and the judges and the people to say that's not what's going on anymore. I had the pleasure of taking a group of newspaper people down my street going, see, it's not what you think it is. But again, to get back to the judges and the magistrates, and as a matter of fact, Jim Woodall was at our last Pine Knolls meeting because he saw what we need to show him is that there are people, lots of people that live in these neighborhoods that care about the crime, that are not just sitting back watching, but they want some answers and are willing to do what it takes. And that's where our power lies, and that's what we're trying to empower people to do, is use their voices.
One of the things you all accomplished was increasing the bond for repeat drug dealers. I noticed that on your website. Went from 500 to, what, 25,000?
Again, I can't take credit for that. Empowerment can, and that they were a part of that, of helping to organize a community. But that just is testimony to what the people in the neighborhood can do. They knew there was a problem allowing repeat offenders back out on the streets so quickly, and the bond was one of the reasons that was allowing it was so low. So years ago, they worked on that, and we realized when things like that happen, we realize the power of our vote, the power of our voice, and that we can change things. If I can segue that into Northside is now a Northside Neighborhood Conservation District. That happened in, I want to say, 2003, directly again from the people's voice. I remember Ed Caldwell, the late Ed Caldwell, going to town council crying out for help. And he just was very, very passionate about it, almost in tears, saying, you guys have to help us. You have to do something about our neighborhoods. We're losing it to crime, to gentrification, to disrepair. We're losing it. And I remember Cal Horton saying, we can't do anything just for one small piece of the neighborhood. You have to come up with some type of tool that protects the neighborhood that would apply to any place else in the town. And so after 18 months of process, we were allowed to form a committee to discuss this, to think of the pros and the cons. We had developers, homeowners, renters, UNC staff, staff from the town of Chapel Hill. We worked for 18 months to come up with a Northside Neighborhood Conservation District. And what that did was it pretty much created an overlay zone. There are certain rules and regulations that protect the neighborhood. I'm saying that to say that there are, again, when a neighborhood unites and raises its voice, it can create something. That system has since been used for other neighborhoods in the town. Another point that I want to bring out is that Northside and Pine Knoll are not separate areas of the town. They're a part of Chapel Hill. And what we do in those two areas affects the whole town. We constantly remind ourselves and the neighbors that we're just a part of Chapel Hill. And we remind the town we're a part of Chapel Hill, but we're just a small piece. But what happens there affects everybody.
That's true. The zoning overlay brings us to gentrification. This is talking with people not too long ago at the university. Many people don't see the problem with gentrification. It's hard for them to what they envision is that places are being refurbished and, you know, it's bringing new life to a community. Tell us why this is a problem. And was there anything that led to you, that inspired the action? What is it that people are objecting to with gentrification?
Here's the problem with gentrification. I spoke at the beginning about the rich history of Northside. I live in Northside. I have two daughters. My husband and I live in Northside with my mom. My mom's 80. We're in our 50s. Our children are in their teens. We are raising children. We get up every morning and go to work. We have a neighborhood, just like out at the Oaks, just like out on Rogers Road. We have a neighborhood. And the problem with gentrification is when we allow those neighborhoods to go the way of multiplexes and student residences, we force out the people like our family who's trying to grow. They're talking about putting a school over in Northside. I have mixed emotions about that. It makes sense to bring an elementary school in that neighborhood. It makes sense to bring families into that neighborhood. That's what it was for. But it also makes sense to recognize, acknowledge the work that's already gone into the preservation of those neighborhoods. With Greenbridge going up, there's no question that property values are going up in our neighborhood. Can an 80-year-old woman hold on to her home? Can she pay the property taxes on that? Can a 50-year-old person pay the property taxes on that? And do we want to trade them out? No. We want to figure out a way to make it blend. And that's what gentrification will do. That's what not paying attention to gentrification will do. And I know personally that everybody needs to do the job that they do, but when a planner and a developer is looking at a project, they're not looking at the people who live there now. They're not looking at the people who have emotional ties to the community, and not to their detriment. I mean, they're doing their job, but if I live in Northside and I'm concerned about it and I want to see projects happen, there should be a better way to blend the projects as opposed to just either or. That's what gentrification does.
You all are, you're involved in renovating and homes and reselling. Talk about that project and how it's going.
Okay. Empowerment has been a part of buying homes, renovating homes. We also do home buyers education. We have educated over 2,000 potential home buyers. Now, these may be people that buy empowerment homes. They may be people that just buy in Chapel Hill or Carbo, but we are a HUD-approved housing counseling agency. So number one is to educate people towards the process of home buyer. Our typical client might be a single parent, whether it's male or female headed, who've got one to two, maybe three children, who've lived in a rental situation for many years and just have decided that that's enough and they're ready to own. They may have changed their station in life, you know, some promotions or just the relocation has advanced them and they're ready for home ownership. Well, you don't sell a person a home without educating them about home buying. If you've rented all of your life, there's a huge step between living in someone else's home and having your own. We educate towards home buyers. We work collectively. We partner with the Women's Center. We partner with Orange County Land Trust, Community Housing Land Trust, and Habitat for Humanity. And so we all take turns. There are 12 classes once a month offered by one of the nonprofits, so we work collectively with that. For empowerment, one of our problems is, unlike Habitat, we don't have the national name, first off, and so we don't have that connection. We don't have people able to do sweat equity to build their homes. Empowerment is solely responsible for buying the land, contracting with the contractor, finding the the home buyer. So that's what we do, and we're used to it, and we're good at it. We have a new project on Prince Street, as a matter of fact, 201 Prince Street. We are so proud of this affordable house that we're able to provide for a family that's coming on board probably in July. And so I'm right now inviting everybody to come out to our open house, listen for it.
When is that?
It will be probably the third week of June. We'll get it out. Don't have a date yet. But what we're proving, along with the other nonprofits that provide affordable housing, is that affordable housing doesn't have to be a little box. It doesn't have to be the typical. It doesn't have to be the project that everybody is afraid of and they're saying, not in my backyard. It's not like that anymore. This is 2008. It's not your father's affordable housing, if I may borrow from that phrase. It's not an easy thing for us to do. We are challenged to find the money to continue to do the projects that we're doing, but we're also driven by the need that people have for affordable housing.
And there's a big need, a growing need now. It's how many families do you all work with?
Ours is an open door policy, and as I mentioned, we may counsel someone who lives in Greenville, North Carolina, because we're a HUD approved agency, who may buy from us. Anybody can buy from us that fall into the category of low to moderately income, first time home buyer, live or work in Orange County for 12 months or so. So those are the people we work with. We have about 5 projects going on right now, 2 definites that have home buyers for them, and probably another 3 or so that we're looking for home buyers for.
You all also get involved with some rentals. You have a rental program, right?
Absolutely. Empowerment manages about 68 affordable rental units. They don't all belong to us. This is a collective effort. The town of Chapel Hill, the town of Carrboro, and Orange County government support a property management position that manages all of the affordable rentals in these areas. We were very successful in having this position created, but what it does is it allows one person to be responsible for those units. We're able to keep the affordable rents down some. We have 1-bedroom, 2-bedroom, some efficiencies. We have 2 apartments that are 4 bedrooms, and we have some homes. We realize even more important now, because everybody is not ready for home ownership. Everybody doesn't want to own their own home. They may be very comfortable renting for the time being, and so we're able to provide that for them. A property manager has one person that you call when you're a renter. There's one person that you call. There's one agency that you look at and go, Empowerment needs to fix this, or let's call Empowerment. They may have something. We work with social services also, and they make recommendations to us. So again, it's the holistic approach of it's the whole person, it's the whole community, it's the whole town.
Hence, Empowerment. I'm going to take just a break here, and for a notice, WCOM Brewery is sponsoring a benefit and a DJ get-together for WCOM. Eat, drink, and be merry at the Carolina Brewery with WCOM on Sunday, June 22nd. WCOM and the brewery are hosting a DJ get-together and benefit. It's a chance to get to know the DJs and talk show hosts off the air, and WCOM will be there from 5 to 7 p.m. The brewery generously donating a portion of every meal ticket when you tell them you're there for WCOM. So join us at the brewery to help WCOM bring you the best in music, talk, news, and more. Invite your friends and support your all-volunteer community radio station by enjoying great food and beverage. That's June 22nd, and remember to tell them that you're there for WCOM. Our website is www.communityradio.coop. And remember, we're an all-volunteer station, and we need your support. All right, we're back to Dolores Bailey. And Dolores, I wanted to talk about the Midway Business Center, what it's doing.
Okay. The Midway Business Center is located at 109 North Graham Street. It is, again, on the western end of the street, of the Franklin Street. It's as far west as you can go and still be in Chapel Hill and set your foot on the other side of Beard Mill and be in Carrboro. It is about 14 offices. Empowerment built it in 2003 with the help of a lot of people, including Orange County and the town of Chapel Hill. We hold an interesting spot, and I think a pleasant spot, for being able to invite people either to Chapel Hill or Carrboro, but the businesses are considered in Chapel Hill. We sit amongst the Carolina Brewery and all the other East End restaurateurs and property owners, and enjoy the working relationship with them. If I can add in that Carolina Brewery is one of the downtown businesses that have supported empowerment for a while. We work together, so has the Chapel Hill News, and I'll tell you how. We have a summer program called Career Explorers, and in that program we look for local partners to hire out teenagers, 15 to 19-year-olders, during the summer and offer them a summer job opportunity. That came about because we realized some of the people standing on the corner were folk who had not made it in the Chapel Hill Carrboro system, people who were not going on to North Carolina Central or UNC or State, but nonetheless there was a lot of human value in those people, but they didn't have anywhere to go. They didn't have a skill. So 5 years ago, we created Career Explorers, asked local business owners to partner with us, create positions for students so that they could learn a skill. As I mentioned, Chapel Hill Tire has been a supporter of that, Chapel Hill News, Mama Dip's Kitchen, Carolina Brewery. And what happens is we interview the students, then the business partners interview the students as well and hire them if they are the perfect match for their job. They work for 8 weeks. They make a little bit more than minimum wage. About $2,000 a summer is an opportunity for them to save the money, use the money if they're going on to college. Some of them use that money to help support their families. But most importantly, they're learning a skill. They're being introduced to the real world. UNC also partners with us and has taken about 8 to 10 students a summer for that. And I'll just give you a couple of success stories from that. One of our gentlemen, Jared, worked for the Downtown Partnership, which is Liz Parham, and he has worked for her for 2 years. She's been so impressed with him that during their annual meeting, Jared was honored as being one of the best employees that she had. There's another young man named Justin who worked last year at the UNC bookstores, worked very successfully for the summer. He walked in during the school year just to say hi to his manager. His manager hired him on the spot. That's the success stories we're looking at. That's what happens when we partner with downtown businesses. The other thing it does is it breaks down two stereotypes. For the students, and we call them interns, it helps them understand that, yes, you can get a job. Handling yourself properly, knowing what to say, how to say it, when to say it, knowing to show up for work on time, understanding how to get yourself to work on time, listening in the office situation, learning. It breaks down the stereotype and gives them pride and pays them well. How it works, how the whole process works. It breaks down the stereotype from the business owner's side that the students that live in the neighborhoods that surround them do have value. And not all of them can be clumped into one big group that says they're standing out on the street and they're not doing anything. So we're working, again, both sides of the coin to bring the business owners to the community, to bring the community to the business owners. And what the Midway Business Center does is provides that. We're growing those businesses that are inside the incubator. Right now, we're the only small business incubator in Chapel Hill. We're the first and the only one right now, but we're the model that people use.
And what are the requirements? What does it take to qualify to be a member or an associate member?
You have to be a small business, growing. There is an income limit. We look towards the low to moderately income business owners. And so you can't come in if you've got you can have a small business, but your income is high and you're just trying your hand at running your business. This is for businesses, for people who wouldn't be able to afford rent on Franklin Street, who are struggling or have a really positive idea about what they want to do, but they need to grow their business. Inside the incubator, you have facilities that are common for everybody. We have a fax machine and we have the internet and we have small spaces. Now, when you go out other places in Chapel Hill, the spaces are larger. So when a business is just growing, you want someplace that you feel comfortable in. You want someplace you feel comfortable growing. We provide seminars for them that speak into their business, marketing seminars, financial seminars, advertising, so that these businesses can grow. You have to have a mind to fit into the mission of empowerment in the Midway Business Center. Your business has to line up with that. You have to promise or agree to hire, if you're going to expand your business, to consider hiring another low to moderately income person. You look into the neighborhoods if you can. It's a promotion of, again, empowering the small businesses and empowering the community.
That's a really exciting project.
It is.
How long can businesses stay? And before we close, I definitely want to get to funding, how you all are funded and what you need from the community.
We depend heavily on donations for many of the events that we carry and to run empowerment. We are funded some by the town of Chapel Hill, Orange County, and foundations. Triangle Community Foundation has supported empowerment. Fenwick Foundation has supported empowerment. We have an organization that's a statewide organization, North Carolina Initiative, that supports us. And the rest of that is we go out and we beat the streets. And we hope to help empowerment be known well enough in what we do. And so thank you again for having us on the program so that I could share what we do. We need support from the community. We need support from the community at large, all of Chapel Hill. We are the only nonprofit that provides affordable housing, community organizing, and economic development. While the others have great things that we do in Chapel Hill, collectively we work very well with other nonprofits, but we struggle. It's a challenge for us to come up with our funding.
I believe that. You all had requested what from the Housing Trust, $750, and you got a third of that? Is that right?
Yes, that's correct. But there are other circumstances that go into all of that. Empowerment is working on some funding that we received from the town and from Orange County a few years ago, and so we are putting that money into current projects. And I believe the opinion is that once we spend all of that money, then we'll be able to approach again. That, again, is a challenge for us because as we don't get that funding from the larger sources, then we can't enter into other new ventures, so we are sometimes bound by that. But it's very disappointing. Yes.
What can people do to help? I mean, go to your website and donate. I understand that.
Absolutely.
What is
the other thing is sharing with other people what empowerment does. We have about 5 properties in the North Side Pine Knoll area that need home buyers. They are welcome to come to Empowerment. We will teach them and share with them all kinds of information about home ownership. And donate,
yes.
Tanya, if I can mention one other thing.
Sure.
First Tuesday in August is Neighborhood Night Out. It's a national event. It always happens at Hargraves. We symbolize taking back the streets from crime, reinforcing who we are as neighbors in our neighborhoods. I believe they're going to be at scattered sites this year throughout Chapel Hill, but Northside Empowerment is going to head up a group with the Northside Neighborhood Watch. And we are going to be out there and are inviting anybody that wants to come out at 7 o'clock because it will be the hottest. It's always the hottest day of the year when we want to walk. Everybody is invited to come out and walk the streets with us. And after that, we have a huge block party. We feed people. We give away prizes. And it's a lot of fun. So we're inviting everybody first Tuesday
That's
in
August. August 5th. Right.
Okay. August 5th, 7 o'clock. Join us at Hargraves.
Okay, great. Well, what's the address?
Robeson Street.
Robeson Street, yeah, okay.
Hargraves Community Center. Recreation Center.
And give us Empowerment's full address and your website.
Empowerment is located at 109 North Graham Street, Chapel Hill. The zip is 27516. Our website is www.empowerment-inc.org. And our phone number is 919-967-8779.
Dolores, thank you again very much. What you're doing is a wonderful project. I'm glad to see it's thriving, and I hope that it will grow and prosper. And visit their website, give them a call, stop by and visit, learn more, and do what you can to support it. And you have been listening to The Wolf Show, the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom. Please visit our website at www.trianglewolf.org. And
thank you, Tana, again for having us. And so important to be at your station sharing this information And I would like to empower someone positively today with my words.
Thank you. Join us again next week when our guest is Steve Deere of People of Faith Against the Death Penalty.